Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, you can open them to John chapter 10. Today we're continuing a series that we started a few weeks ago titled, I Am. I Am. It's a series that's based on the seven I Am statements found in the book of John. Now, I think most of us know that John is one of the Gospels, right? When we refer to the Gospels, it's one of the first four books in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Those are the Gospels. These are the four books that really share about the life of Jesus here on this earth. And over the last several weeks, we've talked about the fact that, the book of John was written a lot later than the other Gospels. And it has a different feel than the other Gospels do. It doesn't share all the details of Jesus' life. There are a lot of stories that it doesn't have that the other Gospels have. I talked about the fact that I think one of the reasons is that John was focused less on the things that Jesus did and more on who the person of Jesus was. He really focused on who Jesus was. And it's in the book of John that we read the seven I Am statements of Jesus. Seven times where Jesus described himself using the words, I am. And again, if you've been here, this statement, I am, it goes all the way back to Moses and the burning bush, where God tells Moses, I am who I am, right? Moses says, who are you? Who shall I say that you are? And he's like, I am who I am. And that phrase, you know what? When I was a kid, I'm like, that just is weird. And I didn't realize that that phrase, I am, in the Hebrew language, is the word Yahweh, which is the word the Israelites used for God. And so Jesus was making it very clear to anyone that was listening that he is Yahweh. He is God, the great I am. And so over the last several weeks, we've been unpacking these statements. A few weeks ago, we looked at the first statement where Jesus said, I am the bread of life. And we talked about the fact that we often hunger for the wrong things. And that the things of Jesus are the things that will truly satisfy us. He is the bread of life that will sustain us. And then last week we looked at the second statement where Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And we talked about the fact that Jesus is the light, but that he also has called us to be lights who shine and point others to him. And so now today we're going to take a look at the third I am statement. It's found in John chapter 10 where Jesus says, I am the gate. And so if you have your Bibles with you this morning, you can follow along with me. We're going to read John 10, verses 1 through 10. This is what it says in the scriptures. Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. And that's where we're going to stop this morning. Now, Jesus is making a statement here to the Pharisees and to the religious leaders. And the thing is, for us to truly understand what's being said, why Jesus is saying what he's saying, we need to understand the context. And that context actually comes from the previous chapter. It comes from chapter 9. In the previous chapter, Jesus does an amazing miracle as he heals a man who was born blind, right? He heals this man that was born blind. This is a wonderful and amazing thing that Jesus did. And you would think that the people would be happy and excited what Jesus did, excited for this man that once this man was blind, but now he can see, right? You'd think they'd be happy. But the problem here and what they focused on is the fact that Jesus healed this man on the Sabbath. He healed him on the Sabbath. And instead of rejoicing in this miraculous healing, the religious leaders condemned Jesus for violating their Sabbath rules. And notice I said their Sabbath rules. I'll talk more about that in a minute. But I want to point out that not only did they condemn Jesus for healing this man, they then rejected this blind man who had been healed. And they actually kicked him out of the synagogue. You see, the problem that Jesus is running into here is the fact that these religious leaders were living by standards that God never intended them to live by. Now, I think many of us know that the Israelites, they followed the law of Moses. That there were standards in the scriptures that they lived and based their lives by. But they also had something known as the tradition of the elders, which was known really as the oral scriptures, or some refer to it as the oral Torah. And these were standards that were handed down by their ancestors, by word of mouth. And these standards were considered almost equal to the law of Moses, equal to what God had said. And the problem is, the law of Moses said, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. But the tradition of the elders took it even farther and told you what they thought. Sorry, I'm having problems with my mic here. I don't know if it's this or what it is. But they told you then what they thought that should mean. They added to what they thought keeping the Sabbath holy meant. And so the religious leaders are holding people to these standards that people have created, not God. And what has happened over the years is that the religious leaders have actually become the gatekeepers, picking and choosing who they think deserves access to God. The religious leaders have elevated themselves as the ones to decide who's good enough and who's not good enough. So as we reflect on the events of chapter 9, we begin to understand that here in chapter 10, Jesus is turning their whole world upside down when he declares, I am the gate. And so I want to take a little time this morning to unpack this idea of Jesus as the gate. And first I want to give you a little context to what the term gate would have meant to the Pharisees in this time. In the days of Jesus, sheep were kept in two different ways. Okay, and the first one I want to talk about is how they were kept in cities and villages. And so if these sheep were in cities and villages, they were kept differently. And so in the midst of a city, there were usually these large holding corrals where shepherds would actually bring their flocks to keep them secure at night. And these corrals, they were public corrals that were able to hold several different shepherds' flocks under the care of just one porter. And it was this porter's duty to guard the gate throughout the night, right? And then allow the shepherds entrance in the morning, and the shepherds would walk into the pen, call their sheep, and the sheep would respond to the voice of their shepherd, who would then lead them out to pasture. And I believe this is the type of sheep pen that Jesus is referring to here in verses 1 through 6. In the first six verses, we see Jesus trying to help the people understand that the Pharisees weren't really the shepherds. It weren't really their shepherds, right? In verse 1, he tells them, anyone who doesn't enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in some other way, is a thief and a robber. You see, in these communal corrals, access to the sheep could only happen one of two ways. Either you entered by the way of the porter, or you had to sneak in by climbing over the wall. And Jesus was making it very clear that true shepherds came by the way of the porter, right? And what he was saying there is that they came by the way of God. True shepherds are appointed by God. And in reality, he was actually referring to the Pharisees here as the thieves and robbers. You have taken authority that God has not given you. And so he's calling them thieves and robbers. And it's interesting, if you look up the actual Greek words used here for thief and robber, the word thief is the word kleptes. It's spelled K-L-E-P-T-E-S. That's the Greek word. And it's referring to someone who steals in a sneaky or stealth-like manner. And the word for robber is the word lestes, L-E-S-T-S. And it's referring to one who actually steals in a violent way. The first one steals by hiding it under its coat, right? Trying to sneak it out, while the other one just comes and steals it point blank with the gun, right? And so that's the difference here that they're talking about. And the truth is, there are those who will use cunning deception to lead others astray. And then there are those who will just use force and manipulation to get their way. And the thing is, both are wrong. And so we have to be on our guard. As followers of Jesus, as his sheep, we have to be on guard. The reality is, there are many false teachers in our world who knowingly, or maybe even unknowingly, lead people astray. This is why I tell you, you've heard me speak this from the front before, don't just believe something because I say it. I do my best to hear the Lord. I do my best to try to decrease and let God increase. But I'm human, right? I'm not always going to get it right. I've told you, there's no denomination, there's no pastor that has it all right. We all miss things here. We misinterpret here or there. I think many of us are doing our best, but we're all human. I'm not always going to get it right, which is why we all have to be seeking the Lord. We all have to learn how to hear the true shepherd's voice. Because it's real easy to follow the wrong voices, right? It's real easy to allow ourselves to be led astray by the wrong voice. And so we have to ask ourselves, do we know the true shepherd's voice? Do we know God's voice? Because if we know the voice of the Lord, it will help us to determine those who are the false teachers. In the first six verses, Jesus is pointing out the fact that he is the great I am. He is the gate. He is the way, the truth, and the life. But we see here that the Pharisees, they weren't getting it. They weren't getting this first example. They were so caught up in their religious standards and all their rules and regulations that they were missing the point that Jesus was trying to make. And so Jesus switches gears on them here. And at the end of verse 6 and end of verse 7, it says, the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, very truly I tell you, I am the gate of the sheep. And so earlier I told you that back in the days of Jesus, sheep were kept in two different ways. There was the way that they were kept in the city, but then there was also the way that they were kept out in the countryside. And out in the country, sheep pens were often one continuous wall that was usually made of stone or thorns, something to keep things out. And this wall would form a perimeter around the sheep, and it would have just one small opening for the sheep to get in and to get out of. And the gate for that enclosure out in the countryside, it wasn't a real gate. It wasn't something physical that opened and closed. The gate for those enclosures was the shepherd himself. The shepherd would stand, sit, even sleep in front of that opening to keep the sheep in, right? And to keep other animals and predators out. And so the imagery here is of Jesus himself as the gate, standing in that doorway, in that opening. And I believe Jesus is stating some powerful things here to the Pharisees and really to anyone who was listening. He's talking about sheep. And I think most of us know that Jesus, and throughout the scriptures, often refers to his followers as sheep. And so as I've studied these scriptures this week, I believe that Jesus is saying a few different things here in regards to him as the gate, to Jesus as the gate. And I want to highlight what those are this morning. So the first thing that I think Jesus is saying here is that I am the gate of salvation. The Pharisees have their ideas of what it takes to be in with God, right? Their rules, their regulations that they have made that have become more than what God gave us. But Jesus is pointing out the fact that he is the only way. That this is a fundamental truth of Christianity. If not for Jesus, if it weren't for what Jesus did, there'd be no hope for any of us, right? He is the one that made the way. And so Jesus was making an all-exclusive claim here. I am God, and I am the only way to the Father. I am the only way to be saved. There is one gate, and his name is Jesus, right? And it's through him that we experience salvation. And the amazing thing is that it's an all-inclusive invitation. That Jesus is making this invitation to everyone. And this is hard for the Pharisees because, again, this idea of these rules, they also have made classifications that, well, if you're not an Israelite, if you're not Jewish, then salvation isn't for you. But Jesus is here saying, no, no, no. This is an all-inclusive invitation. You see, the Pharisees wanted to dictate who could come and who couldn't. And they based their decisions on people's efforts, their ability, nationality, right? Their deeds, their works. But with Jesus, salvation is available to anyone who believes. Anyone who believes on him. I think it's kind of funny. In Revelation 3:20, it talks about Jesus standing at the door of our heart and knocking. And if we're willing to open that door, Jesus is willing to open up the gate of salvation to us. It's that simple. He stands at the door and knocks. He says, if you believe in me, hey, I'm the gate and it is open to you. Jesus is the gate of salvation. And the second thing I think Jesus is saying through this illustration is this. I am the gate of protection. The shepherd would stand or sit, even sleep in that opening to provide protection for his sheep. To make sure that none of the sheep got out, right? And to make sure nothing got in that would hurt the sheep. He became a gate of protection where the sheep knew that they were safe because the shepherd was there guarding them. Now, the reality is we live in a fallen, broken world. You've heard me say that. It sounds like a broken record. Sorry, maybe sound like a broken record sometimes. But we live in a fallen, broken world. And here's the thing. Like sheep, we're going to find trouble, right? Trouble's going to come our way. We're going to experience challenges and difficulties in this world. But Jesus is there He's there for us to help us through whatever challenges we might face. And he tells us, do you trust in me? Do you trust that I am the gate of protection? He tells us, cast your cares, right? Cast your cares on me, he says. He tells us to consider all things joy, even the ups and downs, to know that I am here with you through it all, and to believe that he will take care of us. He will supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory, because he is the true shepherd that stands guard. He is the gate of protection. And then the final thing I think Jesus is telling us through this illustration is this: I am the gate of provision. Because not only does the gate keep the sheep safe inside the pen, it's through the gate that the shepherd leads the sheep out to green pastures. It's through the gate that he leads sheep to still waters, right? We know that from Psalm 23. The shepherd leads us into green pastures, to still waters. And it's through the gate that the shepherd leads us to satisfy our hunger and our thirst. And so Jesus, as the gate, offers spiritual nourishment and fulfillment as he leads us out and on to the right path. The last scripture we read here in verse 10 at the very end says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full, right? The Lord's desire is to help us experience all that he has for us. And he knows that there are times where we'll need to be safe in the pen, right? There are times where we'll need to be there in the pen, safe. But he also knows that there are some amazing places where he is calling us to go out and to graze. Places he's calling us to explore and to experience life to the fullest, to live the life that he's called us to live. The religious leaders here, they were focused on rules and regulations that God had not given them. And they were completely missing the spirit of God's law. And they lacked God's grace, God's goodness. You see, Jesus didn't come to point fingers. He didn't come pointing fingers. He came in love and grace, and he fulfilled his laws and made a way for us to follow him and experience all that he has for us, even though we thought always and will always fall short of his law. I want to finish this morning with something I read as I was studying about the Cathedral of Milan. And I read this as I was preparing my sermon. And what I read talked about the fact that there are three huge gates that lead into this cathedral. And over one of the gates, there is an inscription in marble that hangs under this beautiful flower bouquet. And it says, the things that please us are temporary. And then over a second gate, there is a cross with an inscription that says, the things that disturb us are temporary. And then over the central gate of the cathedral, there is a big inscription that says, eternal are the important ones, the important things, right? And I share that with us this morning because the truth is that there are gates that will lead us to things that please us. There are gates that will lead us to things that will disturb us and bring difficulty to our lives. But it's the gates that will lead to eternal things that truly matter. Jesus said, I am the gate. And he has opened up the way to eternal life. And the question that matters mostly is simply this: are we walking through that gate? Are we experiencing the salvation that God has for us? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for, Lord, just this series as we're discovering more of who you are. As John unpacks these I am statements where you declared, I am the gate, where you declared, I am the bread of life, I am the light of the world, where you made it known who you were, Lord. The Pharisees didn't like what they heard coming out of your mouth, Lord. But you are life to us today. When we realize who you are and what these statements mean, Lord, for us. And my prayer is that all of us, Lord, would discover the truth of who you are, Lord. That, Lord, it's through you that we receive our salvation. It's through you that we have life. It's through you that we experience sustenance in this world, Lord. It's through you that we become lights that draw others to you, Lord. And so, Lord, we thank you for what we're learning in this series. Pray that you continue to help us to grow and learn. That you continue to show us who you are. And help us to continue to be drawn to you, Lord. And so, Lord, we give you this message this morning. Lord, I pray for each of us, as I prayed when we started, Lord, that we would have ears open to hear what is it that you are wanting to speak to us individually today, Lord. May we grab hold of those things. May we grow from those things. May we be challenged by those things and seek to live the lives that you have called us to live. We thank you for your grace and mercy. We thank you for the fact that, Lord, as we come as we are, you begin to transform us from the inside out. And Lord, we won't be perfect until that day we come before you and you make us perfect, but help us to keep growing. Help us to keep getting closer and closer to you. And so we give you these things. We thank you for your hand upon our lives. We pray a blessing upon today as we walk out of this place, Lord. May we be lights that shine bright for you. May we seek to live the life that you have called us to live. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.